Okay, good morning. Thanks again, as always, for having me here and for allowing me to preach. And I am in the middle, three of five, in the very middle of a series on the promises of God. And today, this morning, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite promises in Scripture. In fact, I think if the promise that we are forgiven of our sins and saved eternally, if that's my favorite one, this is probably my second favorite promise, because times are hard. Our lives are hard. Some of your lives are very hard right now. Not mine necessarily. I'm a public school teacher and it's July, so my life is pretty good. But some of your lives are very difficult, and some of you are going through some difficult moments in your life, and not just our personal lives, but we're in a time right now in this nation where we aren't persecuted, but it is as hard as it's ever been to truly live for Jesus, at least in my lifetime, in my 33 years. It's as hard as it's ever been right now to truly live for Jesus and to stand out as a Christian. And we are a people, Christians are a people who have always throughout history been at our best when we are on the fringe like that, when we are somewhat persecuted or outsiders. And times are hard for Christians. And if you get anything from this series, and certainly if you get anything from this morning, I hope it's that you understand that there is a God who knows you, who loves you, who experiences everything you experience with you, and who has promised that he will never leave you and never forsake you. The Bible says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. This is one of many passages of Scripture that are beautiful to read and that we can know intellectually, but that's hard for me to truly believe it, to truly let it impact my life. In fact, this wasn't even in my notes, but a great irony. As I was sitting there through the worship, I was kind of thinking through the sermon in my head and thinking through the notes in my head and in what order do I do this and really stressing about it. And God said, Landon, do you know the passage that you're preaching? You know, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. This is a passage that if we truly believe it, it changes our lives. And I love that the Bible says the Lord goes before you. Because sometimes we dread situations that we're going to walk into. Or sometimes we find ourselves in very awkward situations or uncomfortable situations and we wonder, should I be in this situation right now? Maybe sometimes you're in a relationship and you wonder, should I even be in this relationship? Should I have ever gotten into this relationship? Or maybe sometimes you're in a career that's not working out for you and you wonder, did I do something wrong? Should I be in this career? And God promises that he got there before you did, that he went before you. In fact, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is Ephesians 2:10. And when I was a youth minister for 6 years, and every student in my youth ministry for 6 years had this passage memorized. I considered it one of my personal missions in life. So Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, God promises that our lives are not random and the circumstances we find ourselves in are not random, but God got there before we did. And I love that this passage says that God is with you, that he goes before you and he will be with you. Because sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we are all alone, where there is nobody experiencing what we're experiencing. In fact, we find ourselves sometimes in a situation where it would be hard to explain our situation to somebody because we feel like we're the only, our situation is so unique. Our hardship is so unique, or our circumstances are so unique, it would be hard for me to explain this to somebody and receive counseling, but the Bible promises that God is with us, that God goes before us, and that God is with us. In fact, when Elijah was being born for months, maybe the 7th through 9th month of Casey being pregnant with Elijah, I had this thought in the back of my mind that I didn't talk about much. I mentioned it to Casey a couple of times, of what is the first song that I'm going to sing to Elijah? That was just important to me. And I didn't know it was Elijah or my girl. We didn't know. But what's the first song I'm going to sing to this new baby person? And the first song that I sang to Elijah was, it was a relatively new song at the time, was Whom Shall I Fear, the God of Angel Armies, because I wanted Elijah to know that we know who goes before him, we know who stands behind him, and we know that the God of Angel Armies is always by his side. And this is a promise that is all throughout Scripture in various forms. In fact, the last words of Jesus on earth as a physical body were, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." But my favorite form of this promise is the one that we just read in Deuteronomy. And this exact statement is repeated over and over throughout Scripture. It's stated twice in Deuteronomy 31. We read Deuteronomy 31:8. It's also in Deuteronomy 31:6. It's also in Joshua 1. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is taking over as the leader of the Israelites, taking over for Moses. This is a great time of transition for the Israelite nation and maybe a kind of a scary time. And Joshua says these words, "No one will be able," or God says these words to Joshua, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." God's saying, in case you didn't know that promise that I gave Moses in Deuteronomy applies to you, I'm going to repeat it now for you. This promise is repeated again in 1 Chronicles 28. David is speaking to his son Solomon, to his biological son Solomon, and Solomon is going to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And David says to Solomon, David also said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." And these words from David to Solomon must have, I just saw Casey do this. Okay. These words from David to Solomon must have struck a nerve with Solomon. They must have stuck with him because in 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon prays for an entire chapter. And at the end of that prayer, he stands up and gives a speech to the nation, and he says this, "Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us." This promise is repeated also in the New Testament. The Hebrew writer repeats this promise and uses a very different context from the Old Testament writers uses a context that more fits our lives because we aren't going into battle for the most part. None of us are going into battle. We aren't starting out as leaders of a new nation. We aren't rebuilding temples, but our struggles and the times that we forget that God is with us have to do with circumstances in this world, with our finances, with our relationships, with our careers. And the Hebrew writer says this, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Again, if we truly believe these words, it should change our lives. We should walk into every situation saying, "The Lord has been here. The Lord is with me now. What can man do to me?" And I love that this promise includes the word never. Because everything else in this world is unstable. Every relationship you have is unstable. In fact, I consider myself extremely loyal to Casey. I made a vow to Casey that means something to me, and my vow was that I will remain with her, but it has this caveat, until death do we part, because someday one of us is going to leave the other. Even the most loyal relationship you have is unstable. Every circumstance you're in is unstable, except for this one. Another one of the best examples of loyalty that I can think of, and Olin told me last week that he was just sure I was going to talk about the lion, so I decided I will this week, and Olin's not here. But one of the best examples of loyalty I can think of is my loyalty to the football team, the Detroit Lions. And you have to hand it to the Lions. They have won at least one game almost every year of their existence. I have stuck through the Lions through misery that would take, you know, five sermons, a 5-week series to explain. And at times, during my loyalty to the Lions, I have said, I don't care anymore. Casey's heard me say it. I said, I don't care anymore. I'm done. I always return, but I have given up on the Detroit Lions. But God, when God says never, it means never. God is too invested in us to ever break this promise. God created us. God has delivered us. God has sent his son Jesus to the world to live with us. Jesus has died and risen again. God is too invested to ever break this promise. And while everything else that we live, that we see in our lives is unstable, God is not unstable. And when God says never, it means never. And so I want to just make two points this morning about this this promise. First is, you cannot circumstance your way out of this promise. And I know that I've used a noun as a verb here, but I'm an algebra teacher, so I don't care. Think of whatever circumstance you can think of that would make you say, I have a hard time believing this promise. I have a hard time believing that God went before me here. I have a hard time believing that God is with me here in this relationship, in this career, in this financial situation, in this depression that I'm going through. And I ask you, have you ever been surrounded by a mob of angry people with rocks about to kill you with them? Because Stephen was in that situation, and here's what he saw. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. See, even in the worst of circumstances, God never leaves us. God never forsakes us. Maybe you are in a very difficult spot financially. And you say, this promise is hard for me to accept, hard for me to believe because my financial situation is so bad. Or maybe you deal with such a temptation, some temptation for sin, that you say, it's hard for me to believe right now that God goes before me, that God is with me. Maybe your past is too bad. Maybe your future is too bleak. Maybe you have too many people against you right now. Maybe you've sunken too low into a state of depression. Maybe you are your life is just mediocre right now, that there's nothing really for God to do right now. You think that I'm just kind of like a teacher in July. I'm just kind of in a mediocre life right now. The Bible says this, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what circumstance you're going through, it is not more powerful than the promise God has made that he will be with you and that he goes before you. Second, you cannot sin your way out of this promise. Think of whatever sin you've committed that makes you think, God is no longer with me. God no longer goes before me. Well, when Stephen was stoned, there was a man there who was not stoning Stephen. He was more high up, highly regarded than to actually throw a rock at Stephen. So he stood off to the side and held the jackets of the rock throwers so that they could move a little more freely. That man ended up writing 13 books of our New Testament. And he said this, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am the worst. That's in 1 Timothy, by the way. I didn't write it on there. Whatever sin you've committed that makes you think God no longer goes before me or God no longer is with me, have you ever held the jackets of somebody so that they could kill a Christian? God's promise is more powerful than your sin. There it is, 1 Timothy 1:15. I want to bless you with this psalm this morning, or part of this psalm, 139 this morning. I want you to think about the moments of your life where you feel distant from God, where you feel like God surely didn't go with me there. God is surely too good, too holy, too powerful to have followed me there. And listen to the words from Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I encourage you this morning to know who goes before you, to know who stands behind, and to know that the God of angel armies is always by your side, and to know that he will never leave you or forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged.